Here's a story of a man named Bruncey who covers Husker sports, boys and girls, like football and basketball, even weightlifting, like front squats and curls. Then one day, good old Bruncey called a talk show, and acting on what they thought was a hunch, John and Josh wanted to start a family. And now we get to talk to Michael Bruntz. It's Michael Bruntz. Michael Bruntz. Now we get to talk to Michael Bruntz.
On the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline, Michael Bruntz of Husker247.com joins us. Hello, Michael.
How's it going?
Good. It's a beautiful day for baseball. 67 degrees, winds blowing out. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Now, who are you watching today?
I'm watching Creighton. You'll be watching Nebraska, but right. Because these ballparks are situated kind of in the same direction, if the wind's blowing out here, it'll be blowing out at Haymarket.
That's true. Who's Creighton got tonight? I haven't checked my
Coastal Carolina, number 13, Coastal Carolina. We're moving up in the world.
Wow.
But like I said, going into break, Creighton's undefeated in midweek games. Nebraska sucks in the midweeks.
Yeah, what's up with that?
But then everything's flipped on the weekends. So
yeah, Creighton is the 1927 Yankees of midweeks. That's what they are.
Hey, Bruntz, I wanted to ask you a midweek question because the last couple of weeks, I'm
sure midweek is usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Nice. I'm sure that you have heard some of the similar critiques that I have, and like one is, A, Nebraska doesn't care about the Creighton game, which is why they keep losing to them, which is wild to me. But also, B, the Nebraska doesn't care about the midweek games, which is why they keep losing them. Is there a kernel of truth in either of those opinions, or is it just that Nebraska has struggled in the Tuesday and the Wednesday games over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that they care about them. I don't imagine that they would play the games and not care. That's an odd approach, but I think there's a number of things that happen, and I think with midweek games you get a pretty good sense of what your pitching depth is. If you've got a starter that you're not using on the weekends that can get you four or five innings in a midweek game, I mean that's gold. And you know, for the last couple of years, Nebraska has not been able to do that. And, you know, that inability to have depth in your pitching staff gets magnified when you're playing against good teams. I mean, part of the Creighton discussion is that Creighton has been a decent baseball team the last few years as well. That's a piece of it. And, you know, I think that's something that Nebraska's working to kind of figure out is, you know, how do you get more depth? Because you're, in a lot of those games, the first guys into the game out of the bullpen on midweeks are typically not your best high leverage guys that you're going to use on the weekends. And I think that's, if you kind of dig in a little bit to where Nebraska's maybe struggled, that's where they've lost those games is in the middle innings where they haven't had their high leverage guys in there, and you've had to rely on guys that are a little bit more inexperienced or not quite ready for the bright light. So I think that's a big part of it. I don't subscribe whatsoever to the notion that Nebraska doesn't care. Like I will not believe that.
Well, on that subject, then Drew Christo gets the start tonight, and so you're talking about a guy who they have trusted with the ball before. Is this? I mean, it almost feels in a weird way. It's kind of like a rehab start, but it's also a way to stop the bleeding of, you know, poor pitching on midweeks, especially, you know, in the middle at the beginning and middle of games.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, he's, you know, been a weekend starter. He was a Sunday guy for a few weeks, you know, didn't make it out of the third inning in either of those starts. And this is another opportunity to maybe kind of reset the deck a little bit. You know, Will Walsh gave Nebraska five innings on Sunday. That was the first time in a series finale that Nebraska had a pitcher go five innings in a start. I mean, that's just kind of how much they've been struggling to kind of hammer that roll down. But Drew Christo gets tonight. We'll see how he does. I mean, he's kind of struggled a little bit, I think, with locating his fastball and has gotten hit around a little bit. So he needs to kind of turn that around. Nebraska actually has a pretty tough week next week where they have Creighton and K-State in the midweeks. So the midweek conversation continues, I guess, into next week as well. But, you know, getting a good start tonight would be really, really big for Nebraska, who I think is feeling pretty good after the way that that Maryland series ended. I mean, they really kind of closed the door and won that series in impressive fashion on Sunday.
Bruns, turn into football as spring comes to a close this weekend. I wonder if you would compare the current Kool-Aid flow as similar or different to what we have seen in like a usual spring. You know, I guess a different way to ask the question is like, why is this different? Why is the vibe coming out of this year's spring different than maybe vibes of other years?
Is the sense that is it really flowing right now? Is that your read on the situation?
I would say the last week it has, and maybe okay. the Kool-Aid flow is less the team and more just Dylan Raiola.
Well, I was going to say, I think the offensive performance in Matt Rhule's press conference on Saturday kind of turned the taps on the old Kool-Aid.
Kind of like the baseball taps.
Yes. And it's Kool-Aid, not Mick Ultra, which is very popular, I understand. I think balance, is it weird that balance makes the Kool-Aid flow? I mean, that's kind of where we're at with this team right now is the offense was atrocious last year. If you can get to serviceable, that I think that portends good things for Nebraska this season. And, you know, I think in some ways, you know, the way that the offense performed in that scrimmage probably gets a few more eyes. You know, from casual Nebraska fans on what's going to be happening on Saturday. I think it's going to be pretty vanilla. I think they're going to kind of go to great lengths to mix up the different teams that each quarterback gets to play with. But, you know, I think everybody kind of came into this offseason wanting and hoping and expecting offensive improvement. And, you know, based on what we've heard and, you know, heard from other people who have seen things at practice, the offense at least seems to be trending in a positive direction. So, you know, I think there's the opportunity for some good feelings going into the offseason based on how Saturday goes if you can just be efficient and not turn the ball over. I mean, it's kind of scary if you look back to last year's spring game, how that kind of was a pretty good foreshadow for what the year was going to be.
Michael Bruns, Husker247.com, joining us on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. So what are you – I know, we ask this question every year, but, you know, it is a spring scrimmage, and I know people, they put stock in it just because they can see the team and it's football. But we all know at the end of the day, it doesn't prove really anything about the quality of your football team. That said – is there anything you're anticipating seeing in this spring game, you're anxious to see in this spring game to either, you know, validate some opinions that you had or scratch a curiosity itch?
Yeah. No, I think you're in a situation like this, you're almost kind of more interested in seeing just individuals and kind of how they flash. I mean, I'm curious to see if the athleticism at wide receiver that I think has been improved in the offseason actually shows up on the field. Like, you should be able to tell if that looks different. You know, you're going to get a sense, I think, for kind of how guys run in that running back group. I think a lot of my attention is going to be focused, you know, more broadly on the offense just because there's so many questions there. And I think you'll get a sense of some of how the young guys look and, you know, whether Dante Dowdell is the kind of bigger Big Ten back that Nebraska needs. Those types of things I think you'll get an idea of. You know, defensively, I would be very surprised if you have any of the veterans in there, let alone dressed out for this thing. I mean, I think they're going to be really protective of a lot of those guys. But I think, you know, there's a few names that have popped up consistently throughout the spring that I'm eager to see. Bly Hill at that corner spot opposite of Tommy Hill, who I would guess is probably going to be severely limited in this scrimmage just based on how they've kind of worked things. But, you know, Vincent Chavers is another name that seems like comes up, you know, once or twice a week as a young guy that's really impressed. So you're kind of looking for those things. And, you know, I think you'll be able to get a sense of that stuff more so than, you know, anything that, you know, substantive that's going to carry over to the fall. But I don't know. I mean, you hit a couple deep balls that gets people talking. That'd be okay too, right?
Do you think the leading pass attempter is a walk-on or a scholarship quarterback?
I'll say scholarship. I think it'll be one of the freshmen will be your leading pass attempter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not setting any prop bets for this.
Oh, we're not doing that for predictions this week?
You're not here for predictions.
I mean, I could send you them from the airport.
I think we can.
All right, just asking.
I honestly wouldn't know. I wouldn't know where to put any of the numbers.
I know.
I really wouldn't. I mean, it gets harder and harder every year because you just never know, you know, mm-hmm. how in-depth Matt Rhule is going to let some of these guys go and just how much they're going to turn these guys loose. And, you know, he's already said it's going to be pretty vanilla.
Yep.
So, I honestly, there's no harder game to predict in terms of how it's going to look than a spring game. The years you think, oh, they're just going to have a lot of points and have a lot of fun, it ends up like last year. It was, what, 21-7?
Yeah.
It's just so. Yeah,
you're not setting over under for pitchers here, guys. That was pretty difficult.
Yeah, that's difficult.
My bad. I apologize.
And with that, you know, we're pretty good at that. I mean,
yeah.
we've been right there. Uh-huh. No lines set tonight.
No.
We'll save that for next Tuesday, the third and final game between Creighton and Nebraska. That'll be next week.
Awesome. I won't watch.
Michael Bruns, Husker 24/7. Brunsy, thanks. We appreciate it. And enjoy that spring game as much as you can.
Nice.
Spring game. Drink it in. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Bye, Bruns.
Absolutely. Couple of news and notes from Big Ten country today.
News and notes.
Two quarterbacks entered the portal today.
Two hot coffees.
Both guys started last year in the Big Ten.
Both guys started? Both guys started.
Deacon Hill. The offensive lineman turned quarterback.
I remember him.
Remember, we were talking to Scott Docterman last week, and he said, you know, this new offense that they've got going, they're running it, you know, even without Cade McNamara, who's still coming off the knee injury.
Yeah.
They're still running, you know, this zone read scheme, even with Deacon Hill. Deacon Hill decided, yeah, this ain't for me, bro.
See ya.
So he's entered the transfer portal. And Brendan Sullivan, this one was a surprise to a lot of people close to Northwestern. He was the presumed starter at quarterback coming into this year for Northwestern. He has entered the transfer portal.
Must not want to play in that tiny baby stadium on the water. Says, this isn't for me. I need a bigger stadium somewhere.
I guess.
Understandably so.
So maybe Nebraska will get Deacon Hill. You know, they want that other experienced quarterback.
That's my question coming out of this, because we don't really care about the spring game, is everyone healthy? And then, are they really going to keep this quarterback room? I had been operating all offseason long, since the Iowa game ended on that walk-off field goal. I've operated thinking that Nebraska would bring in another quarterback to get to four or to get to three and move Harburg to tight end again.
It sounds like Harburg's going to stick at quarterback at least at the beginning. Now, things certainly can change. But, yeah, I at this point would be very surprised if Nebraska brought in another body at quarterback.
I know, me too, which is pretty wild because that, again, that would have shocked me. To go and that, in theory, means they're going into the season with two true freshmen at one and two.
Right.
I think.
But we already knew that one of them was going to be a starter anyway.
Sure. So, yeah, is that, you know.
And if anything else, it shows the confidence that they have in Kalen to be a solid number two or a number three, if you want to believe that Henrik Harburg still is playing well enough to be the number two.
Because at the very least, that's what it means, right? If Dylan Raiola were to go down, then you're going with Harburg, a guy who is obviously limited, or Daniel Kalen, a player that I think the game plan, no matter what, coming into this recruiting class, this previous one, was for him to sit on the bench for a while.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
We are here at LeChuck, Charles Schwab Field. The Jays going through some batting practice right now, Coastal Carolina, just watching, stretching and watching.
Stretching and watching.
And they'll be playing baseball later tonight at 6 o'clock, and all the coverage on our sister station, 1180 The Zone. And when we continue, we're the referees responsible for last night's results in the NBA.
What?
Well, at least a couple of the main principals that you've heard of might think so.
Okay.
We'll have some of that audio and have more
audio
as we continue next on 1620 The Zone.